right, man. So I would say welcome back, but I can't say welcome back because we've never done this before. But hey, so, you know, welcome to the first edition Scenario Sportscast, man. It's been a long time coming. We've been intertwining, you know, if you've been following Scenario for a long time, you know, we've been intertwining sports and culture and all of that into it for a long time. You know, that kind of goes hand in hand with the Black community, but we're going to run this a little bit differently, man, and really just all the way in. People have been asking for it for a little bit, so let's do it. All the way in, pure sports, not just sports, but, you know, the culture, people in it, all the things we usually do around here. Before we get too far into that, you know, myself, I'm Matt Whitener. I'm gonna be driving not shotgun on this one. I'm gonna be driving this one all the way. Joining me for this first show, we got my partner in crime. We got the guy that pulls the strings behind the scenes and in front of it, the one that keeps the heat off of me. I'm not gonna have him for all of that this time. I'm gonna have to take some of this heat. We got 12 fries in the building, man. You know, so you know who we are. You know what we do from the Scenario. Yep. We're gonna bring it on the other side now, man. What's up, D? What's the word, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good, man. Man, I can't wait to do another Scenario show, man. We got some good emails, man, too, man. So I know some people that probably, like, when they see this, like, oh, man, my email's going to get read. No. Tune in later on this week. Like, just table that till Friday, and your email will be read.
And, yeah, like, I'm glad you put it that way, because here's the thing, man. For the longest, we've been getting emails. It's been about, yo, I want to hear about your perspective on sports and this on Scenario. And I'm just kind of like, well, I can get into that. It's going to kind of go off the rails a little bit. But, you know, but what I want to do, man, is really just get
and
that
it really
pure
shows
angle.
If y'all don't like three-hour shows.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We get that pure angle this time. So here's the instructions for this. What you got for the Scenario? Keep sending it to the Scenario. We're going to get all of that. If you got something that's going on in the world of sports, though, anything different that way, send it to me here. We'll definitely get into it. We'll chop it up. But, you know, before we get off the ground with this too far, man, I want to just talk a little bit about, you know, what this show is, you know, what it's going to be. Talk a little bit about, you know, where I'm at, why I'm doing this way now, you know, and then we'll get into what it's going to be. I think this is going to be a good rundown into what this show is going to be. And, of course, man, always send your feedback in. Do you tell people where they can send the feedback, man?
They go to straightolc@gmail.com. As soon as we get, in general, it'll be scenariosports@gmail.com. But just for the interim, we'll just do straightolc@gmail.com.
Absolutely, man. And can't go too much further down here, man, without talking about that, man, about what we're doing over here.
Actually, you know what? While we're on the phone, I'm going to go ahead and make the Gmail now. So it's going to be scenariosports@gmail.com. While we're on here, I'm just going to go ahead and make it.
See, look at how easy that is. We're moving in real time, man. And see, and that's the thing about it is that, you know, the Straight Outlo Cash Network, man. I mean, the Straight OLC Network, we really are growing crazy, you know. While the virus is growing outside, man, we growing indoors with the business tip, man.
What a way to segue it, while the virus is growing outside.
Well, because you know what, man, the virus is kind of shaping even how the show is launching, you know. It's because, like, we put it off for a long time because the idea's been in place. But you don't really want to launch something, you know, necessarily, like, at the crib, you know, especially when you got studios and you got things like that, you know. Still taking it easy with that being out in the world, you know. Hey, to each their own. I'm taking my time. We gonna do this, but we gonna get it started. Just because, you know, over the last couple of months, yeah, man. So I mean, what this show is gonna be is, you know, we gonna definitely, you know, we had the goal of launching this thing, making it be a completely different thing, but you know, things have gotten changed. So as the virus is spreading outside, we're not gonna wait because there's a lot going on in the world of sports. I think that just gotta have. Commentary that we got to have now. Don't want to step on the other show from the network commentary. You know what I'm saying? They definitely got their own neighborhood. I'm not going to step on their block with what they got going. But, you know, the intersection of what's happening with sports in the world right now really is something that I think has got to be talked about. And I think that more than ever before, sports right now is taking a stage that's playing on a much higher level than it has in many, many, many years. You know, definitely a peak it has in my life. But, you know, we'll talk about that when we go back. But, you know, it kind of brings me to what this show is going to be, all right? So, you know, how I really see what this show is, it's truly is looking at the entire sports world, you know, through the lenses of what we do with the Scenario. You know, so what does that mean? What is the Scenario? You know, it's a place for Black commentary, but putting a filter on the sports world as a whole, you know? So, I mean, the thing we do with Scenario is that we try to keep it, you know, on point, but not heavy-handed. You know, and that's what we're going to do here. Same way, same flavor, things we get through there. Real issues, things that folks are talking about, things that people are curious about, things that people want to hear about through the lens of how is it impacting the culture and the society. However, at the same time, you know, we gonna call things out the way that we always have too. You know, if it's something that we're not doing right, we're not gonna skip on it. We gonna call us out to the floor on that as well. But, you know, in general, man, cutting through the fat and having fun doing it. And that's going to mean a lot of different things. You know, special features, segments that we run back, just like we do on the other program. Bringing in folks for interviews, some folks that maybe you never have quite heard talk about things in the arena that they have now. Bringing in people that you don't know about yet, but you need to know about, that are out here doing things in the sports world and in the media world. And people that have played the game and people that are going to give you that perspective like you've seen before, you know, like the OG Hour episodes that we do with Orlando, but with a lot more people and a lot of other folks to the table too. You know, really at the end of the day, just a platform, you know, and I think that that's a thing that we all have responsibility to have right now. And I think that the sports world definitely can do that too. So while that's what the show is going to be, let's talk about what it's not going to be too. If you came here for talking head arguments, you know, we just, you know, who's your top five of all time? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm not doing that. We are not doing that here, Doug. You can go to Facebook for that. You can go to ESPN for that. Hot takes, I'm not doing that. If it's a take here, at best, I'm going to say it's going to be a medium take. But that's fine because I think there's enough hot takes that are out there in the world, you know what I'm saying, that having a medium take is good too because that means you've actually thought about it some, right? You know, so, I mean, that's where we at with that. And, but also at the same time, it's not going to be conventional. You know, there might be episodes where we just dive super deep into what one thing means right here. We were doing this show a month ago. We would have most definitely spent a lot of time on Kyrie Irving and where we were at with that and what it meant for the Bucks to be taking the stand that they were taking. You know, like sometimes some things just deserve that spotlight and that dive in. We're not going to do that, you know, that canned sports commentary and things like that. If anybody knows me, they know I hate narratives, and you know that I hate running the company line, if you will, on topics. So, man, before we, it doesn't have black sports. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, and I want people to know, though, too, though, that you doing this is not – we will still talk some sports topics on the scenario when they phase into the regular world. Because some things just keep writing itself. Scottie Pippen get caught out there again doing some dumb stuff with Lars.
No, we own that.
We own that. That's Lou Williams going to the strip club getting some wings. We're on that. Like this is more in depth analysis.
Yes, absolutely. And it's gonna be what that was supposed to be and things like that. You know, but you know, it really was an enlightening experience for me and let me know that hey. You can go that traditional route. You can do those things. But, you know, I've crafted my career by not doing that. You know, I mean, I've been a writer, freelance, or on staff for going on 10 years now. You know, I mean, I've covered professional sports. I've covered collegiate sports. I've covered high school sports. I've done it in radio. I've done it in podcasts. And I've done it for writing for some of the bigger outlets in the country. But not the ones that we're gonna vet down the voice of what needed to be said. And that's just not what I'm here for. But we will do that here. And I hope that y'all stick around for that, commentary and stick around for what that's gonna look like, because I promise we will talk about sports in that vein here. And we'll talk about sports that maybe you don't hear as much about in the black community, but you will hear about the ones that we absolutely do care about. We're gonna start with some of that here today as we kick things off, man.
Go into your background, man, like people, like want to know like why should we listen to Matt talk about sports? Like what is makes him certified?
Pause the record.
Thank you.
So then, you know, I'll just go back down my path a little bit. Back in when I came out of college, I came out of college in the recession. Well, the last recession, not the new one, the last one. You know what I'm saying?
But you have it's levels to it because then there's people that got caught in that 9/11 recession too. So
I'm not that old. So the Bush recession, the 2008.
The second Bush recession, because the first one is 9/11.
Yeah, you're right. Wow, man.
Bush has got a series of them. Is with my point.
I graduated college. Let's do this. I graduated college in 2008. So, okay. You know, right when Brother President was trying to lead us back.
Gotcha.
In the process of leading us back, there wasn't a whole lot of jobs out here, especially for people that were coming out of college at that point. But what I did was I just started writing. You know, I took out a Blogspot. Was that Blogspot at first, realized that platform wasn't going to do it for me. So, you know, just like so many other people were doing then and have done since, you know, I took out a WordPress and just started building it. At that point, it was called Cheap Seats Please. Oh, and that's my name, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that, you know, and I took it it out, you know, and I also was getting it right when Twitter was starting to blow some, you know, so got into sports Twitter, started putting my opinions out there. Listen, I was working in a call center. I had a lot of time to figure out all of these things because I was not down with what I was doing there. And the I don't even know what I was, like $6.75 I was making like an hour or whatever. I don't even know what I was. But yeah, I mean, you know, so when you barely paying the bills, you're going to definitely got time. You feel your passion when you barely paying the bills, you know what I'm saying? So started doing that, man. And the thing that really grew from that was just how many people were growing at that same time. You know, so people that were writing their own sites and figuring out what this next new media landscape was going to be and things like that. Started growing in Twitter space. You know, the thing that I'll say about Twitter is that I don't love necessarily what it's become, but it was what it needed to be for me when it was at that time.
Twitter was an amazing
point, man. Yeah, absolutely it was. You know, and the funny thing is that while I'm growing on that side, I think that that kind of correlates around the time that you were starting to, you know, do podcasts and things initially. Mm-hmm. So while I was on the writing side, you're doing the podcast thing. But, you know, I hooked up with some guys that were all at the same level as me at that time, man, and we, a site called the Sports Fan Journal. So I've got Cheap Seats Please rolling, writing on that every day for myself. After the Sports Fan Journal, things started kind of growing from there. You know, shout out to my man, Eddie Masonette. You know, he launched the site. Him, Kenny Masinda, brother by the name of Justin Tinsley, who everybody knows now, you know, for the thing that he's doing over at ESPN and with the Undefeated. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he's, you know, just to mention a few people, all sorts of people that have done things from all over the country. And what our vision was just to put together a site where a lot of independent young writers, you know, black and white, you know, with mostly black, you know, kind of driving what we're doing from the culture, but black and white folks came together there. Out to Joe Boland, who's been our editor for years, and Joe came into the picture for me later on in some stops I made. And we just kept growing from there, man. And Sportsman Journal grew. Sponsorships started coming in through there. You know, our work started to get to other places. A big leap for us came when we hooked up with Yard Barker, you know, who started distributing our things on like pretty much every big major network that there is around the country at that point. You know, so while we're doing that, starting to get the voice through podcasts and things like that, going on a lot of independent podcasts across the country and things of that nature. Started trying to do my first few forays in the podcast and doing things back on a Blog Talk Radio back in the day.
Which has got horrible quality.
Yeah, I mean, but it was like one of the few ways that, you know, when you're not making that money through the game yet, you don't have a studio and all of that, it was a way to start getting those chops up, you know. So this is like 2010, 2011.
Yeah, that's the early Blog Talk. Does Blog Talk even exist still? Good, keep going.
I'm sure it does in some form. I hope it's picked up a little bit, but yeah, I think it's still there. It's still there. I've done some things with that, not a couple of years back. But, you know, started getting some independent jobs at that point, man. I started doing some things writing for CBS Online, you know, doing some freelance things, picking up stuff like that. Got a lot of different pieces through things of that nature. Hooked up with some folks on the local tip, started writing. You know, anybody knows me knows, you know what I'm saying, my roots is deep in baseball. It's my family sport. It's the thing I care as much about it as I do. A lot of it's a byproduct of being here in St. Louis, where I say all the time, if you're from St. Louis, you might not be a baseball fan, but you're a Cardinals fan.
Yep, I mean, that is 100% true.
It is what it is. That's black folks, white folks, Mexican, anything like that. You know, everybody's a Cardinals fan from St. Louis to one extent or another. So started writing the Cardinals on a regular basis for a site by the name of I-70 Baseball, which, again, was getting syndicated on a lot of big baseball sites across the country. Got the opportunity to start covering the Cardinals that way. You know, got in to know folks on that side, doing some coverage that you can from afar, some of it up close. That was when I started doing things like pressers and things of that nature. You know, so I mean, that was a big break right there. You know, continuing to write for myself, write for Sports Fan Journal. Ended up getting hired on by Yard Barker to be a staff writer there and to be an editor for this as well. So, you know, moving up that way. And, you know, and it just continued to do a thing where my voice got out there, doing more people's radio shows, more things like that. And then what ended up happening was is that I got a break for working here in radio in St. Louis and doing the 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. show. That was just an open slot there. Got an opportunity from Tim McKernan, who's been in the business here for a long time, to be on that network, his network at that time. And got a chance to, you know, sell ad revenue for the show to try to get the pay to be on the air and things like that. You know, listen to the show, got an opportunity. I was on a show with the guy. Actually, you know, I ended up getting on that show with another colleague around here by the name of Dan Buffer, who does a lot of work around here, who's really used Twitter as a platform for himself and has grown up and is really keeping these St. Louis roots here. So definitely shouts out to Dan for doing that and, you know, asking me on and doing those opportunities. Overlooking another, some of our partners that we still work with now, guys, you know, Chris Denman and Travis Terrell, you know, doing stuff with them on their network and the things that they've done, just the multitude of things that they've done, starting to get on air with them. And it grew up into, you know, Tim going back to Tim McKernan offering me a spot in producing an afternoon radio show that they were launching with Cam Jansen, who we had on the show here, and TJ Moe, Eric Messersmith, Hannah Yates. And we had a show that we did that was an afternoon drive show. And, you know, really was a lot of young folks breaking into the business, different avenues, Eric being definitely the most experienced one, but, you know, Cam being a former pro athlete. TJ being a college athlete that had a brief moment in the pros, you know, and all of our being very different people having different opinions about things like that. But getting involved in that and getting with radio and continuing to write and do all those things and all the while growing what we are doing here with Scenario and with kind of what I would say is probably fair to say is a relaunch of what the SOLC network was as, you know, we were going out of that and growing those things up. So that's a long story. As much as I'm comfortable talking about myself for here, but it's just is a whole lot of it's just a whole lot of space to put, you know, it's that people give me trouble on the way. Throughout all of that, got verified on Twitter as a person that, you know, is of note to talk about
that's
sports.
That's one of the best things that's happened to you.
Whatever I say. A blue check that's helped me get a few green checks. I put it that way. That's what that is. You know, so I mean, but you know, I mean, those are all, you know, things I've worked at and I've worked hard. And the thing I say is that I pick my shots. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that come around to do a lot of things, but it's about picking your shots. And every shot wasn't a good shot to me. There's places that have big names that I've had opportunities to work at that I don't know if that's the way I see my career going, you know, so, but I do, what I do see is that I believe in what we do here. Believe in what we do a Scenario. I believe the things that we say and the people that we touch and the process that it takes to get there and do that. And I just see this as being the next wing of how that passion and what I've done in sports making a difference here. So here we are. There's the long and the short of what the Scenario Sportscast is going to be all about and where we're at here. So you want to talk about some sports? Let's talk about some sports. Talk about some things that don't involve me. You're still muted. Daryl Keith, just like you got audio laryngitis. On the other side of it.
Yeah, because I know you got a feedback coming in, so I don't want to be laughing and then the feedback come in, pop in on you. So that's why I've been muting myself.
Hopefully get some feedback from the show itself. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see where it goes. That's my journey though, man. So let's talk about some people that are on a different journey here.
You got the Lakers, man. Change that dynamic with the MVP, the Lakers, what you got on this, man.
So
I guess let's just talk about the semifinals in general.
Let's talk about the NBA in general.
Let's take a step back to the Clippers. Let's talk about them off the top.
Well, the first topic to have is somebody who's what the Clippers are and what they are. So here's the thing, man, the NBA. So I'm going to set up the table for the NBA. If anything is constant in the NBA, it's change. Nothing stays the same in the NBA for long, right? You know, so, you know, you came into this year – and it kind of felt like a fresh start to the NBA in some ways. You know, you had the Lakers rebooting, Lakers 2.0 after last year, you know, just didn't have the bullets to make the run they needed to even make to the playoffs. You know, even though the expectations with LeBron with the guy, but, you know, they get them getting Anthony Davis as soon as possible, you know, reset that team. And, you know, so, I mean, they're where they're supposed to be. But meanwhile, what's happening in the NBA is that it's not so much about the big three era anymore. It's about parity. All these teams that have, I say it's the NBA Jam era now. You have all of these duos. You have all of these teams coming together like that. So one of the duos that people was the most hype about were the Clippers, right? You know, you got Kawhi Leonard coming out of Toronto as the savior of Canada.
And you got, you know, you PG-13. Got Paul George.
PG-13. I can't call him that no more, but I'm going to tell you why. He's just PG now. His rating goes down a level. He ain't PG-13. That's a little too explicit. That's a little too explicit for what we got from him. But we're going to get to that in a second. You got all these duos, man. So, like, the game has changed some. But, you know, one of the teams that people was about was some Clippers. Now, I'm going to put myself out there. I was about those Clippers, too. I say that team got everything you need. They got defense. They got depth. They got the superstars. They got everything you need. Here's what never happened for that team. That team never was a team. There was a bunch of cats that was together kicking it. It ended up being more like a freestyle cypher than an actual group that got together and did anything. Because whether it was injuries or whether it was the pandemic or whether it was just, you know, it's a low management dedication that you give with a bunch of these teams now, they never took off. You know what I'm saying? They never became that team that they were supposed to be. But, of course, they went about it the way of saying it was Daytown now. Right? They got the billboards up. You know what I'm saying? The Lakers had, oh, the Lakers had a nice run. It's only been 55 years that that's been the Lakers city. And the Clippers have been there for, well, I don't know, at least 30 years, 40 years damn near probably at this point, and ain't made a peep. Like, let's go back to, man, when we was growing up. I want to name, let's name the five most prominent Clippers before 2005. Let's say 2010. Derek Harper.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Danny Manning. Danny Manning, Lloyd Vaught.
Derek Harper made the All-Star game.
Ron Harper, you talking about?
Ron Harper. I don't know what Derek Harper. I'm thinking.
You talking about the old Mavericks? Who the old Mavericks, yeah, and the old Clippers was all the same thing.
Exactly. That melded together for me. I'm thinking Ron Harper. He's the.
But here's the thing I'm gonna say: the fact that you had to even just be like, man, it was a dude whose first name I didn't even get right. That says a lot about that franchise and like where they at. So like, let's do it.
Dominique Wilkins.
For a quarter of a season, so let's do a history, a brief history of the Clippers. So Lloyd Vaught, Hugh Richardson, Elton Brand was there briefly. So
Michael Olowokandi.
So let's do this. No, I want to get to the Olowokandi era in a second.
Okay.
So this is a team that's just been ass for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you talk about, let's talk about the four big sports in America. The Clippers are perennially among the top five most ass franchises in America while I was growing up.
Like, sure. I mean, the Cubs would be above them, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the Cubs at least had some prestige behind them. Every once in a while, they had an Andre Dawson or a Ryan Sandberg or something like that. I mean, Clippers had Lloyd Vaught, bro.
Yeah, what it then, I mean.
Eric Piekowski.
That's what I was trying to think of. Eric Piekowski. That's exactly
Sean
what I
Sean Marks. Like, these are the, like, Sean Rooks. I'm sorry. These are, like, the Clippers. And then they finally get the number one pick. And what do they do? We say, oh, man, L.A., the Clippers got the first pick. They got a chance to make some noise, man. They can take Paul Pierce. He from Inglewood. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good look. They can get a cat from the crib. Who do they take? A 7-foot center from Pacific, who I'm still not 100% sure where Pacific is at, Michael Olowokandi. So you already know that ain't going to work. But then what do they end up doing? They end up making a trade. I say, oh, man, the Clippers finally made a smart move. They trade for Elton Brand with an equally ridiculous franchise, the post-Jordan Bulls. And what do? It means absolutely nothing. All they do is surround him with is a whole bunch of cats from high school. You get Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, Keon Doolin, Quentin Richardson, Darius Miles, and Michael Olowokandi. This is your team.
But that was an exciting team to watch, though.
Yeah, that was an exciting – they made 30 wins more exciting than any team has ever made 30 wins.
I agree.
It didn't mean nothing. It was flash and dash, and it didn't do nothing. They had their headbands. They was doing their headband thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got a cover of Slam. I guess that's hot. You know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That is one of the hottest covers of Slam, though. Let me not
show. No, you're right.
But it doesn't mean anything. So then they get Chris Paul. Eventually, after he basically just got, you know, the cock block of the century from going to the Lakers. You know what I mean? So then they get Chris Paul. They drafted Blake Griffin, all right? So that was a thing. But here's the thing. They drafted Blake Griffin. That was the right pick at the time to make that pick. But in the process, they passed on Steph Curry and James Harden. Whatever. Mm. That's one of the most Clippers outcomes you can have.
Yeah.
So you get Chris Paul. You get a DeAndre Jordan, you get a team that can do some stuff, but they continually hit a wall. And now here's the pop culture reference I got for you. Have you been watching Lovecraft Country?
Yes, sir. You know, we do a review. If you go to Lando Cal Experience, you can check out our review show. We do.
So the Clippers are that scene where that car drives into that invisible wall and just destroys itself. And it just flips up in the air, and it's just like, damn, what happened? You know what I'm saying? That's the history of the Clippers in a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what continued to happen. They would get to a point and they would just run. It didn't matter who they was playing. They ran out of gas. So we thought that now, for some reason, that Kawhi Leonard would be the magical. Actually, Kawhi Leonard and Paul PG, PG, just PG. That's his name.
Just PG.
Would come out there, and they would turn. It would turn things around. You got two casters from California coming out doing their thing. That's going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
But then here's the thing we all forgot. These are the Clippers. Like, we get out of our way. These are the Clippers, right? So we get to this point where this series is going on and on, and it's like in the first round, it's like, damn, the Clippers about to lose in the first round? And it's like, no, nah, they're going to pull it out. They're going to pull it out. They'll be all right.
The Utah? So
they they played. Utah and the Jazz played in the first round. I mean, okay. Utah and the Nuggets. Utah and the Nuggets played in the first round.
Okay, okay, okay. Right.
The Clippers played.
But the Clippers, they just played Denver. Lost to Denver.
But no, I'm thinking about the first round. The Clippers played in the first round. The Clippers. It seems they series went so long, and it got the Mavericks. I'm sorry, they played the Mavericks. It looked like for a second, like Luka Doncic was going to frame them, and then what was going to end up happening was they were going to get sent home by Luka in his first trip to the playoffs. But then when it happened. They get to the they move on, and it's like, oh, they're gonna get the Nuggets. Don't worry about it. That was just a rough bump in the road. It's not gonna happen. They up 3-1, and then they're down 4-3. You know why? Because they're the Clippers, bro.
So the Clipper curse is real, basically.
So here's my thing. I think it's real. I really think the Clippers curse is real. That's a long history of the Clippers to say I think the Clipper curse is real. And at this point, I'm prepared to scratch them off next year too. I think another Clipper rebuild is ahead because they're going to realize, they're going to say, listen, man, Kawhi and them going to be like, hey, listen, man, we can't do this. I'm going over to death row. Kawhi might make that move over to death row and say, hey, I'm out. I should have came over here a couple years ago. I'm out now. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Go ahead. I was going to ask you a question about that. So,
no, go for it. Shoot it.
Yeah, so – with this, is Paul George one of the most overrated players because of this? Because they basically, he ain't got no dog in him. I don't know if you saw the clip where they said people was like rolling their eyes at him in his post-game speech.
Oh, can I, if it's okay with you, can I read that post-game thing to us here just to make sure that we all are, you know, aligned with what happened with that?
Yeah.
I just want to point it out.
All right, let me pull it up.
Internally,
man.
We've always felt that this is – I've got it. Internally, we've always felt that this isn't a championship or bust year for us. We just didn't have enough time together.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the most anti-championship mentality I've ever heard verbalized by somebody just making $25 million+ a year. Ever in my life.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if they're going to take up that type of space, man, I would have rather had a team that had – just let the Mavericks go, man. At least let the Mavericks play the Nuggets. At least that would have been some, you know, some back-and-forth fire between Jamal Murray and Luka. You know, just get out the way. If you're – there should be an opt-out clause where we could say, hey, man, is this y'all year? Because if y'all don't feel like y'all can win at all, don't even show up. We'll send somebody else
for you.
So, I don't know, man. But here's the thing. Your question about is he overrated? I'm going to pit him against a player who I think is underrated at the same time. Nikola Jokic, the Joker, is a better player than Paul George, for sure. Like, there's no, for me, there's not even a competition about it. But Jokic is so underrated that people are surprised by what's happening right now. And he's been balling. He's been balling out this entire playoff series, and now people are realizing it. I think that Jamal Murray is the cat that came out of nowhere and really put folks on notice. Not came out of nowhere, top 10 pick, but put folks on notice. So, I don't know, man. Paul George, if anybody – here's the thing. Paul George has fallen into the realm of where people don't have expectations for him anymore. And that's the worst place to be. You want – here's the thing. I would rather be LeBron or Kevin Durant or one of them cats than to be a cat that don't have any expectations. He's on the no expectations all-star team now with James Harden. They just look at him at this point and they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Doug, you'll be all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. I'm good.
you're nodding heavy.
Yeah, no, man. You know, they got the kid at home working. I'm working 5 jobs, man.
I hear you, bro. I feel you.
So my question would – let's move into this playoff. What do you – we talked about a little bit with the – Lou Williams' chicken fiasco at the Magic City. But overall, with this full bubble, how are you feeling about it, period?
Man, I think it's fantastic, right? You know, I mean, it's like this is what needed to happen. They had to do it. Lee came back, proved it worked, and they, you know, so far they're keeping everything tight. We've had very few incidents as we were, because what we were on the lookout for was the incident watch.
Well, that we had the one with the one brother was a house.
Yes, Daniel House from the Rockets. Yes, he got caught. That's the problem that he had, because I know that these incidents is going down. And when we say incidents, this is the Vegas odds had J.R. Smith being at the heart of the biggest incident, I think. But we got to the point where Daniel House had the first incident with dealing with the staff and things and things like that. But overall,
I understand why he got in trouble for it. If everybody's in the incubator, shouldn't it all be fair game with everybody if you all inside the bubble?
I mean, I don't know. Like, this is one of those moments. This is one of those moments where I feel like you being the black commissioner of sports would make sense, because it's not going to be about sports. It's just going to be about activity.
Yeah. Like, if everybody's tested, and she's actually testing me. She's the doctor, one of the doctors or one of the nurses or something. We good.
I mean, I don't think that they signed a no fornication clause to go into the bubble.
Right.
I ain't no harm, no foul for me. I ain't got no problem with it. I think the bubble been a success, though, bro. Yeah. I mean, I think it's been exactly what folks needed. I think the challenge is going to be down the road about how they get the season started again. But we can cross that bridge when we get
there. Yeah, and I'm sure the NBA's thinking that too. Like, that, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
The NBA was real generous this first time around. I think they're going to get real pimpish the next time around about getting the thing started, though. Like the NFL been real on the slide about how they've been doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear, oh, there's no bubble, but we're going to have a lot of control. And you look at Cowboys Stadium yesterday, and they got at least 10,000 people in Cowboys Stadium yesterday. At least it. They're on TV. I was like, man, that ain't no 2,000 people. That's a whole – they got some folks in them stands. I want to hear the real number. But, you know, that's how it go. But before we turn the page on the NBA, man, yeah, the Lakers, here's what's happening with the NBA right now that I dig, is that you got all these collisions. All four teams left standing are collisions of different things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Celtics had a plan to put together. They got all of these cats that they done groomed. They done brought in, you know, they superstar. They're supposed to take it to the next level, 2.0. After Kyrie didn't get the job, they brought Kimba in to do it, and now it's working. They in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I could have told them that was going to work when that worked.
Yes. They got Gordon Hayward back now, who was also a part of the capitalizing on it. But, you know, you got the Cats that and Groom put the team together, the deep squad that's there. You got the Lakers, who you already see that plan. You know, prosper behind LeBron and make it happen there. That's a formula that's worked for at least the last 15 years. So, you know, just ride that out, and wherever LeBron going to go, some wins are going to follow. Much to the chagrin of Laker fans who are having to begrudgingly watch LeBron carry their franchise to a title, and to the chagrin of LeBron fans, because always remember, these are two different parties that are operating together, who've had to go to the Lakers and had to deal with dealing with the Lakers for a moment, too.
But and this hasn't exploded as much as I thought it was, like having those two sets of people.
We're going to talk about this on one of the upcoming shows about the greatest Cold Wars in sports, because this is a Cold War.
And the Kobe's death actually brought them together. It was like, it's kind of like the Berlin Wall, where it was like like that wall sitting there, and they, you know, it's like, oh, man, we might as well be one nation now, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that there's a little bit of – I'll put it this way. The divorce is going to have a lot more sparks than the marriage. I'm just going to put it that way.
Okay. So when he leaves, or when it's over, that's when we're going to really find out how they really –
Well, it's just going to go – when LeBron leaves L.A., I'll put it this way. Either he's going to be retiring, or he's going to be going some to another team. I wouldn't put a third Cavaliers trip beyond him, because why not? But who the hell knows with LeBron? Well, LeBron, there's LeBron, and then there's the NBA. It's whatever he wants to mm-hmm. do, and there's everybody else. But when he's done, whether it's retirement or whatnot, there's going to be a whole group of people who have to decide what the NBA means to them at that point. Either they're going to hitch themselves to the next young superstar, because we're in the players before teams era, where you had these people that are just fans of players, and that means that they just are fans of teams by default, which is not the world I grew up in. But we'll talk about that later. But but you know, then you have all these Laker fans who will still be Laker fans, you know, and they'll realize what that looks like. They'll be Anthony Davis fans at that point, because Anthony Davis is probably there for the long haul. But get back to the point about what we were talking about there. You got the Nuggets, who are kind of like a sleeper, who's breaking through, who has a dynamic duo in Jokic and in Jamal Murray, who are coming of age, who are super young. Like, Nikola Jokic is only 24 years old. And he feel like he's 24 going on 38. Because he got that look like he gonna smoke a pack of squares.
And he's Eastern European. Every Eastern European person looks like they're 35 already.
That's true. That's true. But he's 24. Hey, he's 24 years old. He's like an avocado 24 years old too. Where that avocado been out for about 10 minutes and is looking old, but it still tastes good. That's Nikola Jokic. And then finally, again, you got the Party Crashers, which are the Miami Heat. And I'm just gonna put it this way. Miami Heat are the Wu-Tang Clan of the NBA.
Okay, explain this to me. I'd like
to
dive into this.
Hey, they gritty. They got a bunch of cats that just came from different parts of different sets who's coming together. Cats you ain't never heard of. Cats has got like a different type of swag. You got Jimmy Butler, who everybody written off as like a B-level superstar, who now is like that gritty front man. He's like that front man where it's kind of like, damn, dog, this dude is the face of the squad. You know what I mean? If Wu-Tang Clan had a front man, I'm going to say it's Method Man. And Method Man is the grittiest front man of all time.
Yeah, no, he is the, he's the one.
Period. When you look
the RZA said up front, that's he's the first solo artist on Wu-Tang. They knew, okay, women don't like him. He has the voice. He has the delivery. We gotta ride him if the Wu-Tang Clan is gonna be successful outside.
Exactly.
These 36 chambers, we gotta ride him.
And that's Jimmy Butler. Like Jimmy Butler came to town to be the Method Man of the of that crew. Even go back to like Method the Wu-Tang story on Hulu, like how he was just kind of chilling on the outside and then jumped in. That's Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? And he got the beard. He got like the grittiest superstar beard of all time right now.
But this is what Jimmy Butler really wanted in his life in the Miami situation. These stops, he wanted these teams, I feel like, to be like this squad is.
Yeah, this is the next level of the Bulls squad that he could have been on, like if D Rose and them cats would have stayed healthy.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Like them Bulls had a chance to be some of the grittiest championship level teams of all time if D Rose wouldn't have blown his wheel out. You know what I'm saying? So but then you got like Bam Adebayo that just came up out of nowhere. He like Raekwon of that joint. You know what I mean? Just like mad consistent doing this.
All we need is Deion Waiters to come back and be ODB.
Oh God, yeah. Who is the ODB of these Miami Heat? Do they have an ODB?
Deion Waiters, he's not there.
Deion Waiters' spirit
ODB. He's not there at all. He's just, you guarantee he's in Miami right now. Because isn't he suspended like for the year?
No, he's playing for the Lakers.
But
Deion Waiters was on the Lakers, bro. He came back and played for the Lakers.
Okay, because I know you said
The Lakers roster. The Lakers roster is next level wild. Like it's the ODB of this squad is Jay Crowder. He's coming in raw, doing his thing. You know, you got you got some cats down on the bench. You just got just like all over the place. Like
who is Tyler Hero? That's what I want to know. Who is Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero is Ghostface Killer. Yeah, Tyler Hero is Ghostface Killer all day.
And what's the dude with Covington? Right. Is it Covington or what is his name? Is it what's the
Covington is in Houston?
No, but what's the is a white counterpart that looks like him similarly?
Duncan Robinson?
I get confused until I see who when they walk. That's the only way I know the difference between both of them.
I understand. And also I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out there that Udonis Haslem, who is still on the team. Yes, he's still on the team. I think he's on the team forever. He's permanently on the team. Udonis Haslem is the jizza of the team, though. He's the spiritual leader.
Hold on, Udonis. How old is Udonis? Udonis gotta be 40. I knew it. Okay. I was like, Udonis is old.
Udonis is still there. Udonis is still there. But Goran Dragic, he is the Inspector Deck of this squad. You know what I'm saying? He just come in with the precision. Do what he got to do, put it out there, say what he got to say, get it done. Duncan Robinson, man, he is Duncan Robinson, he's Capadonna. He kind of on the outside, just got in the mix, man, but he's Capadonna. And then you got, I'm gonna go ahead and throw Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick Nunn is, you got, he got what it takes, but he kind of a little bit on the outside. He's getting there. He had a strong rookie year, but we're gonna need a little bit more. And then finally, my man, Eric Jones Jr. Got out, top flyer as Master Killer. So we got the whole Wu-Tang Clan. We got the whole Wu-Tang Clan of the NBA here too. And I tell you what, these Heat got a chance to be like them Pistons that came in and blew things up for the Lakers back in 04 too. Because they ain't worried about nobody. They gritty, they ain't got nothing to lose, and they ain't worried about nobody.
So you're saying they could beat the Pistons of this where they just come out of nowhere and just kind of
and take it. And that'd be the most bubble outcome that there possibly could be too. In this joint. And man, I'm telling you, man, they ain't worried about nobody. They ain't worried about nobody that they play. Like, I think that the most fascinating outcome is them getting to the finals and taking it all. Like,
they, and
like,
this would, like, this would redeem Jim. Now, I don't think Jimmy's redeemed, but I think it would show, and I think maybe he's already shown it, that all them other teams he's been on had a whole bunch of suckers on. Like, on Philly, on Minnesota. Yeah,
Jimmy need to be with a squad that's got that grind. It was too many cats wearing shiny suits in Philly and in Minnesota. And I think that the time in Chicago just ran. It just was time to get out of Chicago.
Yeah, like, I get Chicago, that one. I get the Chicago.
Chicago came up with the Jimmy Butler trade, though. They came up with the trade. You know what I'm saying? They made that trade on draft night and got guys, you know. But, yeah, Minnesota was never a place for a cat like Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just wasn't what he was there for. So
when D'Angelo Russell is being embraced coming into the door by Towns, that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
When Towns met him at the airport, like, oh, I'm like, really? Oh, we've got to the point now where D'Angelo Russell was being greeted at the airport? Okay, well, this is
yeah, he was holding them signs. Like, he was holding them signs like he was the rental car company. Yeah. Like, oh, this team. And sure enough, this team, that's why they got the number one pick in the draft this year, too. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, all those things related, man. All right, man. Let's shoot over to the NFL real quick, man. To football.
Yeah. So like, what
something
do you,
that
you
we
think
got
this bubble,
a complicated
man, like
relationship with as a people.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to Dub earlier. He was saying, "Fuck the NFL." This off top. Did you hear me? You got me?
Yo, you breaking up bad for me out of nowhere. Go back to the point. Go back to the part before you said bubble, because there ain't
no. I said Dub. I said Brandon. I said Dub said fuck the NFL. I texted him.
No, you said, but you said right before you said that, you might not have heard yourself say it though. Hold on, D. I think we're still not connecting. Cause
yeah, hold up. Yeah, all right. So no, what I was saying overall is I'm thinking with the NFL. Dub, I text Dub because I do want to give a shout-out. I know this is your show. I want to give a shout-out to primetime Deion Sanders for being the new head coach at Jackson State University. That is so 2020 that's a believable 2020, but I didn't believe mm-hmm. it could really happen 2020, if that makes sense. Like, if you told me that it's not, like, weird 2020, it's like, okay, I can see that in 2020, but it's like, are we really there that primetime as a head coach of a historically black college, Jackson State?
You know what, man? It's wild because it's Deion, and because it's like everything we know, Deion has been like super high profile, super that. But this mm-hmm. is a Deion move, though, right? Because Deion's whole career has been about going against the grain. Like, yes. I always remember Deion is the cat that hopped on the plane to go play in the NLCS after he played in the NFL game. Like, so Deion hopping up and doing something that isn't necessarily effective doesn't surprise me. Like, that's, like if this would have been, like, I don't know, like, some cat that's just like, what? Like, Bruce Smith, where'd that come from? I ain't never known him to do nothing like that. But Prime, yeah, Prime, I could see doing that. That makes sense to me. But, no, man, shout out to Prime, man, because, I mean, I feel like the lean into the HBCUs on the athletic side has been something we've really been seeing athletes start mm-hmm. to embrace and to talk about on their platforms this year. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Mikey Williams, you know, for putting out what he put out about saying, yo, I'm at least considering it, looking at it. Like, that's a power move, man, for cats like that. And to see more of the young brothers that are even committing to some of the schools that are doing that, I think we're going to see some people take some shots like that, especially some one-and-done guys over the next couple years.
What's interesting, I know the game will change when Rick Pitino decides to go there. Like, his next stop is at Bethune-Cookman. You know what I mean? Like, he's that pathetic. Well, I think he's not right. Because he's Iona right now. Because Rick Pitino's Iona right now.
Yeah.
But if he goes to Bethune-Cookman next, I'm like, okay, there's something going on.
No, man, we can't let these cats turn into like Nick Nolte from like Blue Chips and nothing like that, man, and like just be like corrupting our black colleges, bro.
And that's exactly what I think is gonna happen in Bethune-Cookman. The Nick Nolte shows up.
we gotta keep a term amongst my fraternity brothers, man. We got an alarm at the gate, and that's an alarm at the gate when Nick Nolte shows up or Rick Pitino shows up at Bethune-Cookman, man. But yeah, man, shout out to Prime for that, man. I'm really interested to follow how that goes. I hope Deion can stay committed to it, that he has success there, because I know he won't have a problem recruiting kids to come down there and play for him. Like, people going to go play for Prime, man.
And so, my question I got a question for you, though, with that. Do you think kids care about Prime like we care about? I mean, like, that's what I wonder about with the recruiting for him. That's my only kind of concern in general. Is that his name means something, but does it mean something to a 17, 18-year-old kid in 2020?
Well, it really depends on that 17 or 18-year-old kid too, man. You know what I mean? Because, yes, Deion Sanders transcends generations. Mm-hmm. They know who Deion Sanders is. It really depends on that kid, though. Like, the thing I know about 17, 16, 17, even older than that, you know, young, even going into young 20s, they're going to follow the wave, man. And, like, if people are talking about it and it's exciting – and you know what I'm saying? It's still something for Deion Sanders to come to your house and sit down. You know what I'm saying? And say, hey, I want you to come down here and ball for me. You know what I'm saying? That's still Deion Sanders coming into your house. And if you are a kid, you know, I want us to keep this in perspective, right? You know, because like maybe the kid that's going to be going to Alabama or Clemson or one of those places, maybe that kid isn't going to go there. But there still are a lot of talented kids who are 4-stars and 3-star kids that can go and get opportunities at these HBCUs that might have been going before and just sitting on a bench at a Mizzou or a mm-hmm. Iowa State or, mm-hmm. or a Texas
or Tech. Even a higher level. If I got a chance to go to North Dakota State, maybe. Maybe not that, because that's the highest level of FCS. But so let's say it's
– you're on to something, though. I think you're on to something with North Dakota State or even a higher level than that, like an Appalachian State who's moved
right.
up.
That's what I'm thinking,
into Division One. So, like, who's to say that, like, a strong HBCU can't become, like, what Marshall was when Randy Moss was there? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or, like, become a school that is, you know, it has that. Those opportunities will be there, you know. And Randy Moss was a 5-star kid that just got mixed up in the wrong thing. But, you know, like, you got an opportunity to go there and really be that guy. You know, the relight that Jerry Rice, Mississippi Valley State type thing, that Steve McNair, Alcorn State, have more of that happen. You know, who's to say that can't happen? And if that was to happen at the HBCU level, having a Deion Sanders at the helm helps it happen a lot quicker than somebody that they ain't as familiar with. So
yeah, that's right.
I think to have him prime there, that brings a lot of prestige that just you can only get through a Hall of Famer that's a notable, high-profile Hall of Famer like Deion, you know. But, you know, going into college football is going to have an interesting time right now. I mean, you're seeing a lot of kids who are really put in tight spots about whether they want to play, whether they don't want to play, what it's going to do for them. One thing we know about college football is that they at the head of the pimping table. You know what I'm saying? So they're paying it for themselves, man. So they're going to do whatever is best for them, man. And that's just the truth of the matter. But, you know, one thing I will say, man, is that having football season, I think that from a mental aspect from what sports bring, it's a good thing right now. Like, you know, I think that we've seen more people kind of, I don't want to say thaw in the NFL because, you know, but I do think that more people are seeing more things in the NFL that they don't want to miss out on, you know, and I think that that's credit to somebody like Lamar Jackson or somebody like Pat Mahomes. Like, you're seeing all of these brothers who are balling out on a high profile, and it doesn't make right what happened with Cap. There's some people that'll never come back, even if Cap gets his opportunity. There will be some people that still will only come back if Cap gets his opportunity. You know, we can say Colin Kaepernick for a different time. Obviously, as you can see right here, I absolutely am promoting Cap at all times, man, but a bigger topic for a bigger time. But what I did want to do is take this opportunity to point out that we did have a record in week one of the NFL season for the most black quarterbacks ever in league history, starting at a time. Out of 32 teams, 10 teams had black quarterbacks starting. That's a record. It broke a record from a year ago when we had 8, I believe, in like week 15 or week 14. So it's just showing a trend that's continuing to move forward. You know, you have another brother in Josh Fields at Ohio State who's probably going to be a top three pick next year who could potentially raise that number up some more. You got some brothers on the bench like Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, who should be starting over some of the guys that I saw start this week.
I was just going to say
namely somebody like a Mitchell Trubisky or, you know, somebody like that. I'll leave it. There's a plenty of guys I can pull up. The NFL falls off after about 15. There's about 15 good quarterbacks in the NFL, and then it gets real bad after that. You know, maybe 18 if you stretch it. But, you know, but to say, I want to shine a light on the fact that my opinion for a while has been that, yes, you can boycott the NFL. You can do that. My main thing is, number one, don't say you're boycotting the league if you weren't watching it beforehand. That's not a boycott. That's a bandwagon. That's a different thing. If you are on the fence, I still think there's a lot of brothers that are playing the game that need our support and that need us to view it and need us to watch it and continue. You can still see some black thriving and prosperity in a place that we've been blocked out for a long time. There was well overdue word to Charlie Ward about that, word to Tommy Frazier about that. Mm-hmm. Plenty of brothers that we can go back in time that should have got opportunities that didn't get opportunities. But in the spirit of this being the scenario sports cast, it would only be right if we didn't, you know, put a little bit of a theory on the table.
Okay.
So here's what I've got is that I've got a list here of who the brother quarterbacks in the league are in real life. Like, who is that cat in real life? We all know a cat like this, or we've known a cat that's like this. What is each black quarterback in the NFL, who are they like? So let me hit it. I'm about to hit pause real quick. So what we're going to do is that, Daryl, you're going to throw a couple of the quarterback names. I mean, the 10 brothers have started. I got two bonus that I'm holding back to. And then what we're going to do is just say, hey, who is this cat that somebody we all know? Like this quarterback based on either who he is, how he plays, you know, just whatever it is, the general vibe we got from the cat. This is who he is from a cat that we all know. So this is the equivalent of the scenario of the week for the scenario sports cast. So let's kick it off, man. Let's
Patrick
kick it off.
Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, man, so for me, Patrick Mahomes is dude that everybody likes and they can't say nothing bad about. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he's relatable. Like, he's popular. You know what I'm saying? He's relatable. But he also is like the cat that every chick he's dated, you know what I'm saying, don't got nothing bad to say about him afterwards. It might be because he's got the Derek Jeter basket. We don't know. But they don't have anything bad to say about him. But he's a dude that's been in, like, five people you know wedding. Like, whenever they have a wedding, like, he's in it. He's that guy. And when you have a house party, he's the dude to always bring the dope drinks and something to eat. Like, he's a cat and nobody has nothing bad to say about him. He's like the Teddy Simpson.
He's Teddy Simpson.
Of homeboys. That's who he is as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a perfect one. I don't have anything. That's a perfect one. He's Teddy Simpson. Next up, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, man, he the hood star. Lamar Jackson, the hood star, dog. He's the cat that's like, you just like, oh, man, hey, he's incredible. Like, you should have seen him. Man, you should have seen him play. Or, like, man, like, he pull up, he got the rims, his stuff always be on point, but you know he getting it the right way. He just a hood star, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just out here getting it. Like, it's going to be him. If something hot, he going to have it. And he going to have it a couple of days early. And you going to be like, damn, he really is the connect. He really got it all. But it ain't like he out here trying to sell it to you or anything. He just got it. Like, he fly. And he ain't apologizing for who he is either. Like, he going to always be him, like, no matter what. And he's like, hey, listen, if you're going to rock with me, you're going to have to rock with me the way that I am. Like, Lamar Jackson is like the Allen Iverson of today. He the hood star, dog.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. Okay. All right, next up, we got Deshaun Watson.
So Deshaun Watson, to me, is the people's champ. Like, for his entire run, Deshaun Watson been the people's champ. Because he was when he was going in college football, national championship game, you know what I'm saying? It was like, we got to let this brother thrive. Like, he got to get over. And he go out there and win against all odds, you know what I'm saying? It's just like people behind him. He become a superstar late. People are like, he should have got the Heisman. Didn't get the Heisman. You know what I'm saying? That's cool, though. That's cool, though. For us, he's still that guy. the draft night. Bear sitting there at number two. Take a white boy. You're just like, come on, dog. How did you get this wrong? Deshaun Watson is right there. You took this dude who was like a one-year starter at North Carolina, Mitchell Trubisky. We don't even know who he is. But you had Deshaun Watson.
You wouldn't know him if he walked in the room right now.
But you got Deshaun Watson right there.
Yeah.
And then Deshaun Watson goes to Houston of all places. And you're just like, oh, yeah, he going to a black city. He about to ball out. He about to be that guy, man. Deshaun Watson, no matter what, he got his check. You know what I'm saying? He go out there, when the spotlight be on him, he ball out. Deshaun Watson, man, he the people's champ for me.
All right, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is one of them old Wayman Tinsdale the third ass dudes off of Strictly Business. The dude, that was wearing that suit to the club.
Yeah, you talking about Joseph C. Phillips.
Yep.
In that movie, yeah.
Yep. He old Wayman Tinsdale the third. Like he.
And he's a Republican too in real life.
Exactly. And we looking at him and we just like, hey, dog. We know at some point you're going to sell the culture out. We just waiting on it to happen.
So you're saying Zeke is Tommy Davidson in there?
A Dallas Cowboys strictly business comparison is an interesting thing. but yeah, I mean, it doesn't not make sense. Like, here's my thing, man. I'm not saying that Dak is a sellout. I'm not saying he is a sellout. I'm not saying he isn't either. There's some sellout potential there with Dak Prescott.
It's a to be continued. It's to be decided. TBD.
Like, Dak going to take a bad deal and not help other cats get money. That type of thing. And, like, and he going to do it, and Jerry Jones going to end up on top. And don't know, that's not what anybody wants.
Yeah, we don't – yeah. Russell Wilson.
See, you know, we got – on this program, we got a long history of Russell Wilson. We got a long history of Russell Wilson in the scenario.
I'm going to throw out mine. He's the black dude that grew up in an all-white town that he just decided to go to HBCU.
Oh, that's even better. That's better than mine. You got it.
Y'all, you know, everybody, it's women too like that, but y'all know the black person that they grew up in an all-white town and they were like, I just need to figure out my blackness, so I'm going to go to Tuskegee.
Yeah, and then he come out and he's just like.
And he's Russell Wilson now.
And he got a dashiki on.
Yes.
Like, and you leave him away. He come back home and all the people that used to know him don't know him no more.
But he's from Marion, Ohio or something like that.
Yeah, my Russell Wilson was, he was the dude you used to know back in the day that switched it up big time. That's it. Yup.
Kyler Murray.
Oh, this is the easiest one for me, man. He your little brother that can ball out. Like, when you see your little brother, you'd be looking at you like, hey, man, my little brother going to be nice. And people just like, all right, man, we going to see. He remind me of my homeboy who grew up with, man, T-Bill, Terry Martin. Terry was nice in middle school. After high school, was quarterback freshman year. Like, we was just like, I told you my little brother going to be nice, man. Shout out to my boy T-Bill, man. He already doing big things in the finance game now, too.
That's what's up.
Getting folks credit together. But, hey, this was a cat. That's Kyler Murray, man. And he was dope in two sports, too, man. Like, he came in, was dope on the court. He would have been dope in baseball if he would have played it, but he ain't even bothered with it. But, like, he was – but that's it. Every time I look at Kyler Murray, I be seeing, like, the dopest JFL quarterback of all time when I look at him. He just always making moves like that.
Next up, Tyrod Taylor.
See, all right. Tyrod Taylor is complex. There's a lot of things about Tyrod Taylor, I'm going to say. But for me, Tyrod Taylor – is the dude at the party that you know, you don't know from where. Like, he's just like, yo, what's good, fam? Like,
but he's always cool, though, too.
Right. And that's what he's been. He always cool. He always straight. Like, Tyrod Taylor always been straight all the way back to Virginia Tech, back to Buffalo, back to Cleveland, all that, been straight. But you just always just like, dog, I know you. And this is what happened to me. I was watching Hard Knocks. And then Tyrod Taylor was on there getting the team together. And I was just like, yo. I was like, I know, dude. Who is that? I was like, yo, that's Tyrod Taylor. I forgot he was out there. Like, that's Tyrod Taylor. He the dude that you know. If you don't know from work.
All right. Dwayne Haskins.
All right, man. It's time to bring in another scenario, a scenarioism into this. Dwayne Haskins is the cat that's happy to be there. He's the happy to be there cat in the crew right now. He could blow up in the crew one day. He could become that cap. But right now, he playing for a football team that don't even have a name. And he's starting. And he got a dude that they paying a lot of money breathing down his breathing out his neck, and Alex Smith, who then came back from the dead, right now.
Dwayne, I think they shouldn't even. I think it's actually a crime that even letting him play. Like, I think
it's a bad scene. It's definitely a bad scene. I feel like this isn't going to end well. But Dwayne Haskins right now is the happy to be here cat in the crew.
I was going to say Dwayne Haskins is the black dude that goes to the all-white school where he's the only one black dude on the squad.
Oh, man. See, I heard he's a super solid-ass dude like that.
No. He's still solid. He's just the one black dude that goes to that school in South County, like Oakville.
Oh, like the black dude on Varsity Blues?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with him. He's still straight. It's not like he's selling out. It's just that he just go there. He got to take three buses.
I got you. You're right. He's
a
decent kid.
Yeah, see, he's a decent kid.
He's the black dude that played for DeSmet.
Yes. Like, well, you know, DeSmet's super black now, though. DeSmet's super black now.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about back in the day.
But I heard they DeSmet, yes.
Yeah, I got you.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yo, Teddy Bridgewater is your homeboy who always got a different job. Like, you don't even know. Like, you just kind of like, damn. Like, I thought you was at Hertz. He like, nah, man, I'm over at Enterprise now. Like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, but you forgot where he was at, because I did.
Yeah, you know who, like, he plays for the Carolina Panthers now. He's
I know, but I forgot he left the Saints.
He left the Saints, yeah, and he popped up on the Saints after the injury in Minnesota, but he's been the starter damn near all these – he's been the starter at all these places. He always pop up with a different job, but he always got a job, though. That's Teddy Bridgewater. Your homeboy always got a different job. But he got a job, though.
This is a good one. Cam Newton.
All right. Do you want a piece of this?
I was saying Cam Newton. Cam Newton may be the guy that did go to DeSmet.
No. Cam Newton was both the most complicated one, but also the easiest one, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Newton is that dude that you know can always be doing the most. Like, everybody know a dude that always be doing the most. Like, a dude to show up in, like, the wrong gear for a set. Or, like, a dude to show up and be extra loud, turned up before everybody else do. But then he low-key be on some shit, though, too. Like, he be on it. Like, he be, he do be knowing when it's going to hit. Like, he got a fire-ass, like, connect where he always get the J's. Or he can always be like, oh, man, hey, what did y'all want? I just came up on, like, a case of Grey Goose. Like, what? You're doing the most again.
But then he wears those Air Jordans to his job interview.
Yes, exactly. like the dude, he the dude to be at the gym that be having like the headphones on that be rapping all loud. You know what I'm saying? Getting his reps in all loud and stuff like that. He always got to be on something first. Like,
and he's rapping Akineli's "Put It in Your Mouth."
Right.
It's on
like,
top of that,
bro. It's like, bro, this is definitely a family environment. Like, you know, the cat you don't want being lying behind, like at Chipotle, because he's just like, let me taste that salsa. Is that good? Let me try that. Put some of that on there, but not too much, though, fam. And it's like it's taking like 10 minutes to like order at Chipotle. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's the cat.
But he low-key be on some shit, though, too, right? You know what I'm saying? So, like, he extra as hell, but he both kinds of extra. He the dope extra and the annoying extra all at once.
That's a good one for Cam.
So I got two bonus brothers that we got to get in the mix as well here. So the two bonus brothers is, number one, I can't leave Jameis Winston out. Jameis Winston is that cousin that either be at the cookout or at the wedding that you got to keep an eye on. Because he's going to be the one that's going to drink before he come and while he there. And he going to turn up.
Oh, man, shout out to my boy Trail. This is funny. One of my homeboys had a birthday party down in Dallas, and his cousin had never left Memphis until his birthday party and took the bus. He was throwing shrimp cocktails over the VIP into the crowd of women. And keep in mind, he wore a Memphis Grizzlies jersey in there over the top of his polo.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dress-up spot, but he made sure his Memphis Grizzlies jersey was over the top. Of the jersey. Like, you got to watch him. He's like, man, everybody watch him, man. That's the first thing he said. Like, it's my cousin. He ain't been nowhere. Everybody just watch out for him.
Yeah.
He also went behind the place where you pay to get in and plugged his phone into the charger. See? So, like, where you pay to get in, like, and, like, went behind it and put his phone in the charger.
That's perfect. That is Jameis Winston right there. That's the Jameis Winston that we talking about right there. All right, and my last cat, man. Last cat. The cat that, see, and this is going to make sense. Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
Who was a starter last year, who mm-hmm. got put on the bench behind Phillip Rivers this year just because Phillip Rivers was out there. And one of the biggest bullshit moves of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacoby Brissett is that cat where you say, man, how was we related again, fam? Like, who cousin? You're somebody. You're supposed to be here, right? like, I'm good. Like, the cat that be at your house for, like, Thanksgiving. And it's like.
Yeah, and you don't know how we got there.
Yeah, but it's like he related to somebody, so it's cool. Like, it's good. But you just don't remember how y'all related. Cousin Pete, almost.
Cousin Pete. Cousin yep. Pete. That's the real.
So, that's who our brothers is, man. We behind our brothers supporting them in the NFL, man, doing their thing right now, man. But definitely. All right, so before we wrap things up, man, it was a couple of cross sections, I'll say, in the culture and in the sports world. So I feel like this is like about to fall into your sweet spot in particular about that. But it's one of the times you see that headline and you be like, hold up, what? And so my hold up what headline of this week at least was Michael Jordan has a NASCAR team
with one race.
With one racer, yeah. So the basically the background of it is, if you haven't heard, is that Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin from the NASCAR gang.
He's a Hall of Famer, right? Isn't he a Hall of Famer?
One of the great NASCAR racers of all time. Mm-hmm. Have come together to put together a NASCAR team, and of course, and I think that really the thing that first stood out for me about it is that they're doing it around Bubba Wallace, and. I know that this hit us both in different ways, so I'm gonna let you go first because I've got some thoughts. But I know you got some thoughts.
Yeah, at first I thought initially when I first heard it, I was like, "Hold on, what's that white man he doing business with?" Because I saw Denny Hamlin, and I forgot for like 10 seconds that Bubba Wallace was black. Like, it only took me like 10 seconds, and I was like, "Oh man, that's the black dude, the Black Lives Matter car." Yeah, right. Of course, the noose in the garage. Yeah, okay.
No, remember, it wasn't a remember though. They told us it wasn't a noose, so it's not.
That was a noose. That was a noose. But it's all good. You know what I'm saying? And that's real convenient that this noose pops up right when he's got the Black Lives Matter car. But yeah. All the other weeks that when he was just shucking and jiving, being a regular black guy there, you know, hanging out with everybody, you know, it wasn't no nooses nowhere.
So the thing for me that immediately, right, when I thought about it right away, I was just like, boy, that boy Mike will find a way, won't he? Like,
to take advantage of something. Because he's not doing this for money. This is strictly for ego.
Well, you know what? And so here's the thing I'm going to say. Before I know that it's popular and it's the easy thing to do is to drag Mike down. Yeah. One thing that Mike has done is Mike has cornered that market in that sports, that North Carolina sports market.
Like, I agree.
That's where he's from. You know what I'm saying? Like in North Carolina, you got Brad Doherty, who's like one of the lead analysts for ESPN for NASCAR. So, I mean, you start to see brothers being involved in it down there. And for Mike, I just immediately thought, I said, well, how's he going to get this on the sneakers app? Like, what's this? How's this going to get?
You already know he's marketing. It's going to be the Jumpman car.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's gonna be somewhere like that.
And if they smart, I would have Bubba Wallace on all kind of ads and stuff with the driver Jumpmans. Jumpmans.
I can't wait to see to see his racing suit. That's gonna be this.
He's gonna be fitted out. My thing is, why didn't the driver already try to get this to happen for them? Because you're gonna be fitted out.
I mean, the thing about it is, man, is I feel like most of the time Mike picks you. You don't pick Mike.
That's true.
And Mike decided now that this is the time for him to get into the mix. And all right, so now I'm also giving Mike a little bit more credit. Like for years we said out there, Michael Jordan, you know, obviously he's been haunted for years by the comments about, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too. Ain't letting him off the hook for that.
Supposedly he didn't say that though.
See, exactly. I'm not letting that whole thing off the hook. What I'm not letting off the hook is about Mike. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a little bit late to the party in having some of them statements and things be out there. I'll talk at a later date about why I feel like I've never held like people like him and Magic Johnson and those folks on the line for that. But, you know, the time is now and he's not being left behind, you know. So, you know, Mike has stepped up and has definitely been a voice. He's definitely been one of the people that's been at the forefront. Like if you go back to what's happened with the NBA a couple weeks ago, you know, Michael Jordan apparently was the voice in the room that was unifying the players and the owners. You know, about what that looks like and about what that situation, you know, right around when the Bucks walked out. So
could Michael Jordan be a clone then? I need Akbar for this one. Because maybe we got another version of Jordan at some point where we got swapped out.
Like Paul McCartney? Like Michael Jordan? Yeah. You know? I don't know, man. I'm going to choose to say that the brother.
Google that, because that is an amazing whole wormhole to go down if you want to go down a Google wormhole. The Paul McCartney clone thing. That is an amazing story.
Yeah, check out the, we had a couple issues of episodes of Scenario Go. We dived into that one. But now I'm going to say, Mike, you know, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. You know, Mike's presence has grown. You know, obviously he's put his name out there in places, you know, in baseball. If you don't, you know what I'm saying, Mike is, Jordan brand has become big in baseball. You know, he's gotten behind some of the younger players that are there, definitely behind some of the black players. So, you know, it kind of follows the course, but it's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity. I'm happy to see a black owner be involved in that. And especially one that's got the power of Michael Jordan. It's not just anybody. You know, you can't pressure Mike and push Mike to do anything that he don't want to do, you know. So, you know, more power to him for doing that and getting into the mix. Now, going in the other direction, I'm going to throw this out here too because I know you got some thoughts about this. Kobe Covington in the UFC. So last weekend, Kobe Covington fought Tyron Woodley. It was a situation that I knew wasn't going to work out very good for Tyron and the Wood. You know, what did he say, man? Tyron Woodley's like one of the greats of all time, man. You know, St. Louis born, Mizzou guy, you know, world champ, two-time NCAA champion, world champion UFC. I mean, you know, there's nothing else for him to do, but he's 38, you know what I'm saying? And he's fighting Kobe Covington's 31, who's in the prime of his game. Tyron's past his, man, and it's just not the time for that fight for Tyron. And he took the loss, and it was a bad loss. I mean, if anybody saw it, and so it looked like it was a bad loss. I mean, he barely put up a fight. He couldn't get established himself. And clearly, Covington was the better dude.
Yeah, he got TKO.
He had to give up his rib. Something happened with his rib. Now, here's the thing, though. Tyron was fighting with the culture on his back, though, too. Because Kobe Covington, if you're not aware of him, he is the – I think we've talked about him on Scenario before, but he's a dude that uses that MAGA perspective. He is wearing one of those Keep America Great hats on the way to the ring. He takes no opportunity. He passes on no opportunity, I should say, to not find some way to, you know, pride that little bruise in society. And he's just one of them dudes. He's one of them white dudes that just makes that happen. But the thing I'm gonna say about him though is that for me, why does it only stick to sports when it's a black athlete talking about black causes? You don't see them saying people calling him out for that. And it's just in a time where we just have a next level of double standards. It's one of the brightest ones of all time. Look at this. You got mad at Muhammad Ali for opting out 50 years ago. You get mad at Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee. You get mad at Kirk Flood for saying, nah, I don't think I'm going to play because this isn't right. This isn't the way it's supposed to work out. You get mad at every other form of protest except for when it's a white dude saying that's putting the rhetoric at you up. It's just hypocritical, dog. It's just over-the-top hypocritical.
Yeah, but also you got to understand and remember that who owned Dana White is a big MAGA dude himself. So he's
absolutely.
And he knew it was going to get paid. And they really kind of Tyrone have actually kind of played himself, really, by leaning into the Black Lives Matter and making it that kind of fight. He kind of played into their hand a little bit of like how they wanted to kind of spin. Because they UFC is kind of spinning itself into being the alt-right, like, organization. I don't know how that happened. In the last, like, 2-3 years, I feel like. But Dana White going that direction has kind of pushed that group of people that were like, oh, the guy that hates the NBA, that guy that's like, oh, I don't want the NFL, they're doing protest guy, they can have a home at UFC, it basically feels like, for their sport now.
So this is Covington's stance on this. You know, he says is that Tyron Woodley is standing up for lifelong criminals. Black Lives Matter is a complete sham. It's a joke. You're talking about people who are complete terrorists and criminals. These people are not hardworking blue-collar Americans. They're bad people. They're just criminals. He says Tyron Woodley is a communist. He's a Marxist. He stands for criminals. He hates America. And that's why he got broke tonight. And then he went after that and said something about, you know, he's calling out LeBron James for being spineless and doing all this, which then prompted a whole bunch of basketball players. KD, I love KD's response. Kevin Durant says, who's this again? Who's this guy again? You know, but it's just like, it's, and here's the thing. Let's just call it what it is. It's trolling. It's trolling on the highest level. Because this dude understands his character, and he could do it. And what it is it's a crossover what WWE's been doing for 30 years. You know, word to the We Coming For You podcast, they definitely have tackled this in many different ways. It's what WWE has been doing for many years. And since we know that's theater, we don't call it to the middle as much, but you know, now this guy's doing it at a time where, you know, it's real, you know, these are real pressure points that he's hitting, and you know what he's trying to do. So, I mean, just like any other troll, what you got to do is you just got to step on him. And I hope that the next person he runs out here against is Kamaru Usman again, and he gets his jaw broke again, because the time before last when he fought a brother, he got his jaw broke, and he said, and tried to, you know, beg his way out of it. So, you know, if there's anybody in sports to root against in real life, it's Kobe Covington. But at the same time, don't give him the press or the attention to buy into that bullshit that he's spitting, because he's spitting it just to get underneath your skin.
Yeah, it like I said, Dana White has figured, and you know what? I wonder if he thought, like, before he probably really, especially when Brock Lesnar and when he had Rampage, that height of UFC in, like, the late 2000s, where, like, everyone at pay-per-views you couldn't go to bars without them being packed. You know, it was a big, big deal. But I think he realized that he can never beat boxing, but I can make me a niche where I can always get paid and never have to worry about a pay-per-view ever not being sold.
Well, sure,
and I
yeah.
think that's what he's leaning into more.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Honestly, I mean, you know, he's following that blueprint that's been out there forever. You know what I'm saying? You could go way back in the day to, you know, to the fights with Joe Louis. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and you know, go way back into the days of Jack Johnson and all that. It's always been, you know, a pit of brother against a white boxer and let it, you know, be what it is. It's why my homeboy father said, man, Rocky, the most unrealistic movie of all time. No way that brother would have come in there undefeated and got beat by that white boy.
Never at all.
So, you know, it just kind of is.
His name was Rocco, and he was Hispanic, maybe. Because in the 80s, that's when they start, Roberto Duran start coming out, the Camacho, all them cats start whooping our ass.
But the fight game has always been the most, you know, the easiest way to pit the races against each other. 100%. You know what I mean? That's just always been what it is. It's an easy.
That's why I don't do fights with mixed company.
Yeah, it's you know, that's, I don't think I've ever watched a fight in mixed
company. Yeah, no, I've done it before, and it was like, you know.
Yeah, like you cheering a little too hard, partner.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what you trying to say? You trying to take this out here?
It was Joe Calzaghe versus Bernard Hopkins, too, with some co-workers. And I was like, they're a little bit going hard for a dude that's British, and none of these cats is British.
Right. Yeah, he looks like me, so I'm going for him. I mean, and that's kind of the nature of what that whole thing is. But, you know, I'm not buying into the Kobe Covington thing. I think in just as analysis of him as a fighter, I think he's a dude that gets over on simply that standout of who his personality is. I don't think he stands up in the ring against any of the top guys in that class. So he fights the older version, Tyron Woodley. He claims that like it's some defeat over the Black Lives Matter movement and uses LeBron James to prop himself up because he knows that he'll never get to that level himself. So, hey, man, it's just, if anything, he's definitely doing the MAGA way of life where he's standing on the backs of the culture trying to make himself taller. And it ain't going to work. So, all right, man, before we get out of here today, man, one thing I want to do is, you know, just leave with some words for some things I've been working on, you know, and this is kind of in the spirit of what that looks like and where that's at. So we'll get this up. We'll get this out onto the out onto the Facebook site as well. You know, go over to the SOLC network page. You'll be able to see this and be able to get the words out there as well. But so where we at, man? Let's get it going with this last call. So, you know, sports is the last refuge for white people that were dedicated to not seeing color. Athletes wore the color of their teams, their schools, and embodied a certain colorlessness because of that. However, those days are done for a simple reason. That was never the truth of the situation at any point. It was just one that both sides allowed to prevail for too long. We are past the point of no return in being able to meet at the 50-yard line, half court, home plate, center ice, fill in the blank sports comparison for compromise. That's over with. We're way past that point. People as a whole are gonna have to prepare to be moved or get out of the way in full, because the days of pleasantries and haven in sports are finally done. I say both sides because there's a legitimate fault to be spread on both sides of the equation. There is the relegation at hand by the aforementioned fans who selfishly declare sports to be a neutral site for humanity causes by athletes within its various ranks. The idea that there has to be one or the other approach to being either a high-profile athlete or a person that speaks up regarding issues that reside within his community, that's never been fair, and we can't condone it any longer. On the other side of the coin, there have been waves of athletes that didn't use their voice to speak on issues and could have affected change within their world for far too long. The era is where it was easy to see why there were thoughts that sports could be a haven from the hard truths and from that are unavoidable in other parts of society. There's a lack of responsibility there as well, but we'll get to a little bit more on that later on. You know, finally, there's even a break-even point. People that legitimately didn't consider some of these issues because, like it or not, it fell into a blind spot in their worldview. People that aren't necessarily against the type of social and civil movements that we've seen within sports or never even thought to embrace them within the realm of it before either. This is simply a lack of knowledge, and we've got the opportunity to use sports to be a platform like never before. But this is a part of society that's becoming, there's a break-even portion as well. The people legitimately didn't consider some of these issues before because, like it or not, it truly fell into a blind spot in their worldview. People aren't necessarily against the type of social and civil movements that we've seen within sports or never thought to embrace them within the reality of it before either. This is particularly interesting and increasingly obsolete sector of the sportsverse as well. Let's put a pin in that group for a moment because we're going to get back to them and what they need to be about next. So where does this leave us now? This also puts us at a point of not being able to use a broad brush to paint over these situations either. First of all, I hate cancel culture and what it brings. It recalls things of relevance, but then attempts to remove them well after the fact. The hard truth is that there's no place for that in the unique role that sports plays in moving the yard markers for racial equality and putting the curtain back where those issues are rooted. So, you know, you think that Jackie Robinson was about cancel culture? Roberto Clemente, Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali? Hell no. If anything, they're about recognizing the issues in the moment and not covering up where they came from. Because by doing that, you undo all the good that comes from showing how we got here in the first place. The idea that one shouldn't use their station in any part of life to make it a better, more humane place is ignorant. And there's no two ways about that. So, you know, in closing, sports will no longer be anybody's relief from reality. It holds greater responsibility than that, and it will not be allowed to be a reprieve. The revolution will and is being televised, and you have the right to turn it off if it doesn't make you comfortable. Or you could decide to engage and come out on the other side with a bigger, more realistic view of the world that we all live in. The choice is yours, but that's the only choice that you have.
Man, you should be on the sports reporters, man. I loved it, man.
I hate that. I felt a little sports reporter after I got into it. But it needs to be said, man, and that's what it's all about. So, yo, Daryl, man, hey, we got something off the ground. We'll see where it goes, man.
I know, man. We'll see how many people, especially the Covington stuff, man, you know, MAGA all the way.
Yeah, know. Exactly. Yeah, y'all come. I got time. Come for me. I got time to talk about it. Again, man, that's what we're doing. But, hey, yo. Appreciate you, brother, for joining on for the launch,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and the email is scenario sport, not sports. Somebody took the sports part, so it's a scenario sport at gmail.com.
All right, that's what it is. See, that's the man coming for your stuff, yep, before you even got it. You
know, he heard me through the internet. Was like, I'm registering that email now.
Right, exactly. So, all right, man. Well, hey, peace to you, brothers. Appreciate y'all logging on, checking it out. We'll be back next week, fresh edition of Scenario Sports. Peace.